What's up, you guys? It's Disney Movie News time, and today we're talking about Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and a Coco. Let's a go go.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Disney Movie News.
Disney Movie News.
I think it made a sound.
Whoa. What made a sound?
Someone's phone made a sound.
Oh, my phone. I'm sorry. I didn't hear it.
Keaton.
Oh, you know why? Because Twitter.
Twitter? Who has Twitter these days? I do. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Disney Movie News. Today we're going to talk about a lot of cool Disney Movie News. Now I'm not trying to make sure I don't make any sounds with my phone.
All right.
We got a lot of... We don't have a lot of news, but what we do have is super intense and super cool and super spoilery at the end of the show. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. At the end of the show, we're going to be talking about Beauty and the Beast because we saw it.
You did.
So but stay tuned throughout the show.
We're doing a spoiler-free review.
Right. But just be warned, okay? Just be careful.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. I have not seen it, but I listened to the entire soundtrack.
Oh, then you might as well not see the movie. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
I'm seeing it tomorrow night. I'm very excited.
You've really only heard two songs or something like that aren't in...
Two new songs. Well, there's like three, probably, I think.
One Celine song, and I really like the Beast song. We can talk about
that. Okay, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But for now, I am Mr. Leo Zombie everywhere on the internet, so make sure you follow me at those places. And it's not about me today, though. It's about them, I think.
Why? I'm so snitched.
Because you're on the front page of the Daily Dot.
I was going to say, it's really about Sarah, because I don't know if you guys have checked out her video.
My Maser Electrical Parade video?
You've been on fire.
I'm just, like, crushing the Disney fandom this week.
I had my time last week. This week, Sarah's queen.
So next week, do I get to be queen?
I hope you're ready. I have some news for you.
Oh, my God. Queen. Sarah.
You have been cast in the live-action version of Disney Movie News.
I hate you.
Uh-huh. What's your name again?
Sorry, where can I follow you? Because you're doing all these awesome things. Oh,
I said it.
That's how she does. That's her thing now. She just says, I'm Sarah Snitch.
That's her thing. Hi, guys. I'm Keaton Markey. Thank you for... first of all, thank you for awkwardly letting me bring my friends 2 weeks ago.
That was awesome.
I'm really glad they were here. Yeah. No, they loved it.
He provided very insightful feedback on our story about LeFou being gay.
Well, and because Mike is somebody who, like, you wouldn't guess by just meeting him that he's gay, but he is. And so,
but he certainly applied
the
pressure in the room
as we discussed.
I got
so nervous.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that.
I was like, oh, no, I got to talk about
Sarah,
this. And there's a gay person
and
in the
LeFou
room.
It's not... Avert.
No, and he went to Yale, so he's just extremely smart.
It was
kind of perfect that he got to come and kind of talk about that with us. And we tried to listen for the gay moment while we listened to the soundtrack together, but we
it's not even part of the soundtrack.
Really? We were trying so hard to figure it out.
No, it's definitely not part of the soundtrack.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it next week.
Sarah, they're talking about... everyone's saying I have the wrong sticker on my laptop. It's because I also have a show about video games, and this is the laptop that I use, and I have the sign.
I have a sticker on
my laptop that says the name of my other show.
Yeah, I should... watch him on Game Talk.
You should, because today we talked about Disney. So if you're in the chat room and you watched that show earlier, thank you for watching that other one. But this time, we're talking about Disney. I'm really excited that you're all here, because I feel like today's news is oddly just, like, segmented, and it's so different from the stuff that we normally talk about, at least all at the same time. So what do you say we jump in?
Let's dive in.
Dive in as if we're diving into a
pool of coins.
Coins. Correct, Keaton.
I feel like there have been gnats following me, like, the past week, and I hate it. And I don't know if... Do I just smell?
I didn't want to say anything.
They are everywhere.
They really are gnats in here. You brought in gnats.
Like, I don't understand. Like, I was sitting in my office today and gnats were just flying around me. I was like, oh my God, I feel like a cartoon character that has like the gnat.
Pig pen.
Yes.
Girl, you gnatsy.
I don't know. Ugh.
You so gnatsy.
All right.
Sorry.
It's okay. Just, you know, take a shower. I don't know.
I did.
A gnat shower. DuckTales. We've got a new DuckTales promo. And can we watch it?
Yeah, it's a new one.
Let's watch it. Let's watch and talk about it. Because I actually haven't seen it yet. Oh.
Dolan.
Dude, I love the way Dolan looks. Dude, I love the animation.
I do love the animation.
DuckTales.
Oh, they're going to sing.
So many places they're going to go.
So many.
Dude, the animation is so good.
So that was just Dolan, some Dolan?
That was just some Dolan rolling through the world. I'm super duper excited about the show. I mean, there's not much additional information I can provide that we don't already know based on that trailer alone. But I will say some other news that came out that's relevant to this, and I think it's in conjunction. You could play that, actually. it's just B-roll. There's no talking or anything like that. It's just music. But earlier today, actually, Capcom announced that they will be releasing all of their classic Disney Afternoon video games on all of the main console, virtual consoles in Steam. So you'll be able to buy the Disney Afternoon Collection, and it features DuckTales 1 and 2, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, Darkwing Duck, and Tailspin. And it's the original Nintendo game in its original format, but now it's HD at 1080. And
how do they do that?
It's awesome, right?
That is really cool.
It's super cool. I'm very excited because these are some of my favorite games growing up. And that level right there, the moon level on DuckTales, is probably one of the best video game music levels of all time.
I think also, as a game collector, DuckTales 2 was very hard to find.
Very rare. If you can get DuckTales 2, then you should never, ever get rid of it because it is worth money. Also, it comes with a new feature where you can rewind the game. So if you die, see how he rewound it right there? You can rewind a few steps and try again because these games are notoriously incredibly difficult, not just because games were harder back then, but because of the hardware limitations. And if you would have watched my show earlier and you want to discuss this with me.
Video games.
Yeah, no, but I'm super excited. We got a clip. We're getting the video games. It's like the Disney Afternoon is happening all over again, and Sarah knows, and Keaton knows. I love the Disney Afternoon. It is one of my favorite Disney properties of all time.
Yeah, man.
Man, I'm excited.
You act like I don't like Disney Afternoon.
No, I know, but you know how much I love. Like, Darkwing Duck is in my, like, top
three
characters.
Oh, my God, Darkwing Duck. Why have you never cosplayed him?
He has. So, come on, Keaton.
So, about that.
Mic drop.
About that.
Do you know, I think we're all so tired is just because of the dang time change.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's been killing me.
It's like, and not only that, like, I came back from cruise brain, and when you're on a cruise boat, they do everything for you to the point where we are calling the boat mom boat. And, like, I'm
they
just.
They do everything.
They do. And so coming back to the real world, and they're like, we're also going to give you one less hour in the day. Mm. I was like, I hate you.
In your face. It's also been a crazy week because we got a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. We've got a screening of Beauty and the Beast this Saturday for Thingamavlogs. Tomorrow, my Pirates of the Caribbean footage from 2 years ago is finally going up, and it is. Sarah was right. I definitely didn't give myself enough credit, but also a testament to her editing.
Get it, girl.
If you guys want to see what it's like to be on the set of a major motion picture that is Pirates of the Caribbean, I highly suggest you check out the video tomorrow on Thingamavlogs on YouTube. And so with that alone, plus our other work, I mean, it's just been a...
I'm dead.
But... we've got DuckTales push us through, and now we've got one more thing that's going to be pushing us through, and that is that Aladdin is appropriately casting. That's right. Disney put out a casting call for actors to fill the roles of Aladdin, and some of the specifications include, well, they don't specify who can apply, but they do specify that in the very first line, these characters are Middle Eastern. They're making a very... I would say concerted effort to make sure that the casting is appropriate.
They better.
And they also have to be able to sing. They made sure to point that one out. Emma Watson, we're looking at you. We're giving you the stink eye, girl, the shade. Now, interestingly enough, all week people have been blowing up my social media because I cosplayed as Aladdin one time. And everybody has just been saying, Leo, you'd be perfect for this. You should apply. If you're not Aladdin, you get a role. It'd be so great. Guys.
Not Middle Eastern.
Would need a serious spray tan.
Look.
Which would be brown facing.
No, that's not
too
true.
Old.
That's not true, by the way. Palestinians have light skin. I do look rather Palestinian.
Aladdin doesn't have light skin, though.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, he's Middle Eastern. You can't, you know, you could cast a light skin Aladdin if
you
he was
blue
Middle
eyes,
Eastern.
Though.
I have green eyes. Excuse me. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I don't get lost in them very often.
I'm just like,
that was amazing. I can't believe she said that.
I can. Because my girlfriend's literally sitting right next to her. Who would? She can't say anything else, babe. Because you're the guard dog, you're the queen.
What? Oh my god, okay.
Yeah, she's the queen.
But I think it's cool. I like that they're first of all, obviously culturally appropriate, amazing stuff. What I also like is that they're opening up the casting call. It's not some secret process that nobody knows about and it's behind Hollywood closed doors. I think they've learned to be transparent.
But this is what will make me a little angry. Is like, you know, they did this for Rey.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. When they did it for Ray, I actually sent in a tape. I'm way too old.
Did you really?
I did.
That's cool.
I did. Way too old and don't have an agent, but that's fine. But, you know, it was really cool.
Well, she didn't at the time.
Exactly. But it was really cool that they actually went with an unknown.
Right.
But I hate when they, like, you know, they use something like this to do a casting
and
they make it seem like anyone can do it. And then they end up casting, like, you know, some famous or C, B list actor. And it's just like.
Well, I mean.
I mean, if we're going off of Moana, that was an unknown. If we're going off of Star Wars, she was an unknown. But I mean, if I look at, you know, Cinderella and. Beauty and the Beast, those are all very high profile actors.
Beauty and the Beast, I feel, is a very interesting. It's sort of like their first approach into the mainstream Renaissance films. And if you're gonna, you know, kick that legacy off, you have to do it with a boom, and you need to make sure that it doesn't fail.
No, Cinderella did.
No, that's not Renaissance.
So they were like, I understand, I get what
you totally get what you're saying. But I feel like even Cinderella, the casting on that, like, yeah, she had worked previously and she had a sort of a following, but I mean, like, I feel like she was a safe bet, but she was still in this world.
Prince Charming was from Game of Thrones.
Prince Charming, yeah,
she was on Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
also.
And she was on.
Yeah,
Downton
I know, but they wanted like television stars. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't go with like A-list movie celebrities.
But still, like, why
like
did
Emma
they have
Watson
to go with
is an A-list. Like, I would say she's an A-list celebrity.
Well, did you see the people next to her, Emma Thompson? Like,
yeah. No, like that movie was like, we're going to put a parachute on this, and then we're going to put cushions under the feet, and we're going to make sure that it lands very softly.
Very
There's not going to be any room for
failure.
We're
going to have Celine come back just in case everyone hates Ariana.
Listen, man, if you guys don't like this song, we gave you the best singer in the world, just in case.
I really enjoy that we're at the point where Disney preemptively knows that if they didn't cast Middle Easterners, that they would get flack.
Well, they've only got nothing but flack, right?
Well, yeah.
But look, I mean, and they got nothing but praise for Moana.
Yeah. I just want to say, this is what online activism can result in.
Oh, guys, you're making a difference.
People who say keyboard warriors do nothing. Mm. You know what?
But don't be, like stupid and mean and trolly.
No.
Like,
but
like, you
being
know.
Being thoughtfully critical.
Yeah.
Right.
Can result in actual
change. One jump
change.
Ahead of the jump is what you got to be if you're going to be active. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, a lot of forums online, I've been reading a lot of different comments and things like that, and it's interesting because this particular movie has something that the others don't, and that is the genie, where a lot of people are like, yeah, great, appropriate. This is going to be appropriate, but who the heck's going to play the genie?
Yeah.
Which is crazy that it's overshadowing the fact that they're making a very overt effort to be appropriate, and yet the genie is overshadowing that. Almost like, great, we got what we wanted, now who's going to play the most famous comedian who's now dead and everyone's super sensitive about.
Do you think he's going to be CGI?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I think. It's
I think
CGI.
It's going to be like Jungle Book type CGI.
Yeah. Same. Who would? Let me ask you guys this. I'm going to ask the chat. Who would you guys cast as the genie? That's what I want to know.
Kate McKinnon.
I was literally about to say, what if they make her female?
That would be wild.
I don't know if I'd like that very much.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Jared Killam would be good,
she'd be
too.
Good,
if there's one thing, I could definitely name way more female comedians that I would prefer to see in the role than male comedians. I can't think of any male comedian that
captures that essence. But I don't think Kate McKinnon necessarily.
No, but like the eccentricity is there.
Yeah. Only if she does her Jeff Sessions impression the entire time.
Oh yeah. No, honestly, I feel like she's got different energy, but I do think it would be very, she's so off the wall.
Nobody has the same energy as Reverend Williams.
Right.
They cannot try to mimic his performance at all.
Right, but who's another high-energy comedian?
It's not even just high-energy, it's like
wacky, zany.
Wall. Yeah.
It's almost Kevin Hart.
Yeah, but here's, yeah.
Someone said
honestly,
Kevin Hart in the thing.
Honestly, I think that would probably be one of the better. Yeah, someone's saying Sarah Silverman. I don't know if
no,
I like
Sarah Silverman's
that.
Too dry.
I don't like, she's too dry. Well, that's my concern with Kate McKinnon.
Whoopi. But no, she's too dry. I don't think she wouldn't
passed.
Do it because she was too close, I think, to Robin Williams.
Yeah,
I think it
also,
would be.
I think her prime and as a comedian is just.
You
know.
Leave Whoopi alone. The View is hilarious.
I don't have anything against Whoopi. I just don't think she's in the right pocket for contemporary comedy for the genie. Kate McKinnon, I think the problem is she's just too, like, her wit is so sly. You know what I mean? Like, she's just too, it like slides by.
But
the
she's
audience.
Able to do so much. She can do other kinds of
I
comedy.
Agree. No, I think, to me, I think.
And she can do impressions, which that was something that Robin Williams was really
was,
good at.
He was good at that, yeah. No, honestly, I'm going to put this out there. I think she might be one of my favorite comedians today.
God, I love her so much.
I love her. I think she's amazing. She's
I
want to
go home and watch Ghostbusters.
But is she the genie?
No one's the genie.
No one's
I know,
the problem.
That's the problem. No one's the genie.
What if they cast the guy who played him on Broadway?
Is the genie Middle Eastern?
Actually, one of the genies that used to be in the show at Disneyland was amazing. I think his name was I don't know, but he was so good. It would be cool if they had
the genies were really good at Disneyland, but
they
were good,
so good
at being a Robin Williams-esque play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they were trying to mimic the movie a little bit.
Which is a shame, because that's a real talent that
they're
executing.
The Broadway show changes it up a little bit in terms of the presentation of the character, and I think if they went with a less CGI and more towards live action, the dress and costume of the Broadway version could help sort of bridge the gap so it's not just an entire cartoon character.
Yeah. No, I feel like they're going to One of my biggest issues with Beauty and the Beast is that they did not take Human Again and make that one of the songs.
I know.
That made me so angry. Yeah. So, like, coming off of that, I hope that there's so many wonderful songs within the Aladdin Broadway play that, like, I mean, like, Proud of Your Boy.
Yeah,
like,
they should put Proud of Your
they
Boy
need
in
to
it.
Put. They. I want them to bridge those because.
We've got an inside joke for Proud of Your Boy. I do this thing sometimes on social media where I sing, and it started just me doing it to Sarah. She thought it was really funny. Where I sing Disney songs, but whenever there's a letter B, I pronounce it like B L L L L L L. So it's and it started with that song where I go. Proud of your blah. And I just will run like look for the blah necessity.
So funny.
It's so dumb.
Going back to the casting announcement too, they also did that for Mulan.
Oh,
live
did
action
they?
Mulan. Yes.
I didn't know they did that. I didn't know they put it out there.
They put that out.
Maybe because I didn't get it every other 30 seconds on my Twitter. People saying you should do this. Oh, here's my question. If first of all, I liked the question. Should the genie also be cast Middle Eastern? Because he's a mythical creature.
I think that's
I
think that's the one place they could. I think it's really the genie's.
I think
genie's character
anywhere.
Is about performance.
He's also. I feel like the character himself is about. He like spans all of space and time.
Also, they're not going to have every single person in the movie be Middle Eastern.
No,
you know
obviously
I mean?
Not. But I mean, he is one of the central characters.
I know.
So I mean, Jasmine and Aladdin and Sultan and Jafar should all be Middle Eastern, in my opinion.
I think the genie's from that planet.
Abu. I'm saying. I'm calling this right now. Is going to be played by Alan Tudyk.
I was just going to say Alan Tudyk. Yeah. Or Carpet.
What if Alan Tudyk was the genie?
Oh,
I could go for that.
Good.
I could go for that. He was amazing as, oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on the droid's name.
K2SO.
K2SO, yeah.
No, I don't know if he's, no. He's
not. You've seen Firefly.
I love Firefly.
Have you seen A Knight's Tale?
I love A Knight's Tale.
Have you seen Dodgeball?
I love Dodgeball. But he just,
I've seen Moana.
No, I was like, I don't want to go.
Hey,
hey. Hey, girl, listen.
Hey.
Someone's saying Bill Hader.
No.
Whoa, hey, I'm sorry. Whatever he did to offend you, I apologize on
his
behalf.
I want to move on because we have to get to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, all right. That's all you want to do. Guys, more Cars 3 casting.
Well,
Sarah?
Some of it's the same. It was, it's just more of the same. You know, it's like Kerry Washington, and this is a picture of the car that she plays. what?
Babe, don't sound so excited.
Yeah,
oh my God.
She plays
And then you mentioned Nathan Fillion.
Oh, Nathan Fillion. Oh, that he's a sexy
Have you
car.
Seen Firefly?
Nathan Fillion is this silver car.
Silver Fox, you mean?
What's his name? He runs the Rusty's Racing Center.
Okay. That's cool. Nathan Fillion's good. I like him. They got his eye action down perfectly.
And then Leah Delaria from Orange is the New Black.
Oh.
What?
Is playing...
Bus?
Miss Fritter.
A bus.
oh my God, a bus. This is the bus has been a very funny topic of conversation on Twitter because everyone's like, what the heck is the Cars universe? Why do they have a school bus? Who rides the school bus?
It's not about that. It's about projecting a thing.
There's no humans to ride the bus.
I know. Well, there's no humans to drive the cars.
Who spray painted the bus?
What you are as a car reflects your personality. And maybe it's like when all people go to sleep, the cars wake up and talk.
I want to say this in the nicest way possible. That bus looks like Leah Delaria.
Babe, too soon.
Too soon?
She was just born.
What?
What?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was
You're
like,
supposed
are you
to be like,
about?
What? Yeah, okay.
She was just born.
You don't pay us to laugh at your jokes, Leo.
Yes, I do. I pay you in free popcorn.
Anyway.
Lord, a bus bus.
A bus bus.
That's it. That's all the news we have for Carlos.
That bus will always be a bus bus.
There is a new Cars poster that came out, and I thought it was pretty slick. I would never hang it up, but I thought it was kind of cool.
I would never hang it up.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to say something real quick?
Yeah, I do want to say something.
Oh, go
Before
for it.
We move on. Guys.
We want to tell you about something cool.
I want to tell you about something real cool.
Yo, check it.
It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. I've used it. Have you guys used Blue Apron?
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
Doesn't it make you feel like a chef?
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I know how to cook.
It makes me feel like I can do something.
It makes me feel so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. And, like, the food always has turned out for me. I don't know. It's like a fail safe. Like, if you follow the directions, like, you're cool.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, I was a coworker of mine was just talking about this the other day, and they were saying how they actually learned how to do things for other cooking recipes because Blue Apron, like, showed them something they didn't
know. Like, if there's a recipe on Blue Apron that I really, really liked, and I'm, like, cooking, I'll be like, oh, I can just pull out that sheet that they sent me and go get the ingredients myself and make it for a lot of people.
That's right.
Anyways, you guys should try out Blue Apron. There are some amazing upcoming meals that are happening. Salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli. I don't even know what that is, but this is the thing. Blue Apron educates you.
You don't know about orzo? It's the little pasta.
It sounds yummy.
Little pasta?
If I saw that on the menu, I'd be like, I want to try orzo. Pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple. That sounds good.
I don't... What?
That sounds delicious.
That's too fancy.
That sounds like... No, that's the thing. They always seem like, oh, there's no way I can make this. But then you can. Make it. But you can't. They make it.
Si se puede.
That's right. Vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips. Yeah. Spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. Yummy. Mm. Okay, you guys, this is why... Blue Apron's awesome. First of all, it's for less than $10 per person per meal.
Shout out to the chat. You know who else likes cars? Disney. Blue Apron.
Stop your joke.
One day you'll sleep again. You'll be okay.
You know who else likes Blue Apron?
You'll be cooking again.
If you guys want to check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping, come on, it's free food. Come on, everybody loves free food. You go to blueapron.com/guilty. GUILTY.
Because you're going
to
feel guilty if you don't.
Once again, that website.
blueapron.com/guilty.
www.blueapron.
You guys, it's blueapron.
No. You got to blah, blah, blah.
We can't
not
do it.
Blah, blah, blah. One, you guys.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Anyways, let's talk about some more
Disney.
Thank you guys for being patient with us.
We really appreciate
that. But seriously, Blue Apron's really good.
No, I mean, like.
I highly recommend it.
Like, I realize she's holding a piece of paper. It is, but, like, it is awesome. Like, we've actually physically used it.
Yeah. I'm holding the paper because I want to make sure I hit the points that I would talk about. I don't have that much time to talk about it, so I should stop talking about it now.
Yeah, hashtag moving on. Okay, so.
Blah, blah, blah.
We got a trailer this morning.
For Coco!
Should I marry Coco Puffs?
Leo, did you watch this?
I did.
Oh, my God, did you cry?
Mm. I haven't seen it yet. I'm so excited!
I didn't cry. I thought it was nice. Guys, I can't help but think of Book of Life when I watch this.
Okay, well, let's just watch it.
Yeah.
Coco.
But it's true.
You know what it is? It's Book of Life meets Footloose.
It really is.
But Book of Life is Footloose. Never underestimate
the power. It is. It already is Footloose. No one was
going to. I love the visuals. It
was up to me. I do like the animation a lot.
Yeah. It is really great. I do like this little boy. I'm gonna have to cosplay him.
What happened in, like, the very few years from the point where there's this famous guitarist to, like, this place where music isn't allowed?
I guess we're going to have to find out by watching Coco.
What's going on?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
the music is so beautiful, guys. Yes!
Is that like Arroz Mexicano? Or
Día de los Muertos! Oh, my. I'm going to cry.
The dog's name is Dante, by the way.
Is Dante dead?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Or does he go to the land of the dead with him?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet.
I have all these questions. I think Dante is dead. I think that's why he's
dead. I don't think he dies. I think they just go to a magical world.
No, but I'm asking if Dante goes with him to the land of the dead or if he sees Dante in the land of the dead because he's
not dead. If you're dead, you're a skeleton person. Like the girl.
Oh, true.
By the way, Dante, based on the legendary story about Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
And he goes to hell. So it does have to do with... He actually goes to, like, the underworld. He goes to the seven layers of hell.
All right, here's the thing.
That was interesting.
Everyone, how beautiful that
I'm just going to defend Coco for a second.
Look, I don't hate it.
Here's the thing. Well, there is... Okay, everyone is comparing Coco to Book of Life. I get it. There's a lot of similarities. There is something to be said about Pixar, like, you know, copying actual authentic Mexican filmmakers who made Book of Life, and the Pixar one is not directed by a Mexican person. But overall, what I feel more like is I don't care if there's like multiple stories about Day of the Dead, because how many freaking stories about white people do we have that are all the same?
Yeah, but listen to what you just said, though. How many movies do we have about white people, and how many movies do we have about the Book of Dead? Dia de los Muertos. Yeah. Mexican culture is about more than just Dia de los Muertos.
True. I'm just saying, like Keaton said, we have a new Christmas movie every year.
Yeah, but they're like... You know, that's like a traditional thing. Like, if we're going to be setting new boundaries, we shouldn't start with the same story every time.
I understand. There's both sides of it. Like,
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that's the argument.
You know, I'm not going to be like, it's too much Mexican culture.
No, look, I'm going to take it. And honestly, I'm super excited about it. I think it's going to be, I hope it's a really cool movie. Yeah. It looks really neat. I just don't like that this is present during the conversation of a movie being, you know, Pixar taking this opportunity to make a movie about Hispanic culture, Latino culture.
I wonder how, like, far into the making of this movie they were when they found out about Book of the Dead.
Book of Life, by the way.
Book of Life, I'm sorry. Which
I
did.
You completely murdered it.
Which I did watch after you gave me the homework to watch.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I did not love the animation.
I liked it, but I understand that.
I really liked, I loved the music. I loved how they integrated the music, and I really liked the story. But the animation, some of the animation I really liked, and then some of the characters just didn't seem like they fit with the other ones, so it kind of threw me off a little bit.
I feel like it was a really good attempt at a movie. It was like the closest, I know that it's DreamWorks, right? Mm-hmm. But like, it felt like an independent film made with a high budget.
Right, here's something. Book of Life came out in 2014. Lee Unkrich pitched Coco in 2010.
He pitched it in
2010.
Look, like I said,
when he had just finished Toy Story 3.
I'm glad they're making it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. It is cool that we're getting another movie about Mexican culture. I think that's great. The Book of Life, I mean, the Dia de los Muertos thing, like, it is what it is. But it's a shame that it's always going to be compared, especially because it's probably going to be better. I mean, who knows? It's
the Book
Pixar.
Of Life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not based on, like, the last two.
I guess. It has the potential to be better.
This is a original story, unlike, you know, like, Finding Dory. And I'm always excited about an original Pixar story because they've made some of the best original franchises of all time.
Yeah.
I didn't like having so many sequels from them for so long. So I'm excited about that. But
You know who's really excited about Coco? Blue Apron.
Blue Apron.
Love me that Blue Apron.
No, I completely understand and I agree.
Hey, everybody watching right now, there's 104 of you, which is really awesome.
Oh, shout outs.
Let's hit the thumbs up, please. Thank you.
Someone brought up the fact that one of the first pieces of news that came out about Coco was that Disney and Pixar tried to trademark the phrase Dia de los Muertos.
I remember that.
Not good.
Which was a huge oversight. The thing is, that was the original title of the movie, and so they were obviously trying to trademark the title of the movie. But, like, what dummies didn't think that, you know, trademarks are public information, you know? Like, obviously someone's going to find out about that, and, like, you dummies.
Like trying to trademark Christmas.
Yeah, God.
Idiotas.
Yeah. I'm glad they renamed it.
When I first heard the name Coco, I thought it was about the bird from Foster's Home from Imaginary Friends.
Isn't Coco the grandmother's name?
I think so. That's another thing that you were worried about. So many sad grandmother stories recently.
Oh yeah, I was like,
I just rewatched Moana this weekend.
Can I share a new pin idea that I have for Fanflare? Moana's grandmother's manta ray is a pin.
Yeah,
is that cultural appropriation?
The manta rays are not.
I know, but like a Polynesian tattoo.
No,
it's beautiful.
Let us know in the comments below.
Yeah, I don't know if that's appropriation.
I want to be careful.
It's referential.
Okay, well now I'm super excited. So Leo and I saw Beauty and the Beast.
Coco guitar pin.
Yeah.
Already.
Leo and I saw Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I listened to the soundtrack.
We are going to discuss it with no spoilers. So it's going to be our, like, thoughts, emotions, and impressions.
And
only.
Also, I'm gonna preface this by saying it's hard to spoil a movie that came out, like, 25 years ago.
True. But, like, I don't think we should talk, like, don't talk about the new songs.
Right.
Don't talk about the gay moment.
I couldn't. Yeah, no, we won't talk about
just
that.
Just generalizations.
Thoughts and things.
Yes.
High level. I'm going to start with the most basic thing.
Well, can I start with something really quick?
You can start that. Yeah.
When I listened to the soundtrack, I liked almost everything about it. The worst parts, though, were Emma Watson singing.
Yeah, Emma Watson singing is not...
You stole what I was about to say.
Sorry.
I liked the movie, but the worst part was Emma Watson.
Yeah.
Not just singing.
Really?
I have to say, I don't think she has a wide acting range.
Mm-mm.
She's very good at being serious. She's very good at being...
Hermione Granger?
Yep.
Concerned. She's very good at being Hermione Granger.
Yeah, she's really good at being concerned. She has, like, this face down.
How many years did she spend playing Hermione? That's, like, the only thing
life.
She can do now, right? Her developmental process as a child.
She's great in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. She's good in that.
I didn't even...
She's okay. She has an American accent. It's very confusing.
Yeah. You literally took the words right out of my mouth. That was my problem with it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And no, it's okay. It's good. It's a good movie.
I got that just from listening to the soundtrack.
Oh, well, then there you go. I mean, like, literally the sound... I mean...
But I want to give her the benefit of the doubt of the acting.
But the thing is, like, even the songs, I don't think any of them stood out to me. None of them felt special or spectacular or different. As a matter of fact, the whole time I was listening to the soundtrack and to the songs being performed, I was thinking, God, they're trying so hard to not make this sound like the original. And
well,
that's the problem. It sounds like they're trying to do that. It doesn't just come off that way. It sounds that way.
I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel like they were trying to make it different. I felt like it was very similar. But I'm just like, if you're going to redo, like, a very perfect soundtrack... sung by actual Broadway stars, like, maybe just don't.
You guys, I thought the Beast voice is really good.
You're not gonna you're not gonna
the best
do a better job than you already did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, I'll correct you in one instance. LeFou and Gaston.
Oh my
God, Gaston
are the best
is
part.
Phenomenal.
LeFou and Gaston are the best part of the whole movie.
They literally steal here's the thing. As a pair, they steal every scene they're in. And every scene they're stealing, LeFou steals it just a little bit more.
But Gaston's voice
He's
is
so
phenomenal.
Good. Oh, Luke.
Like, literally, like, I thought the Beast was very good at singing, too. But Gaston, like, even listening to the song, The Kill the Beast, I was like,
oh, it was awesome.
It is beautiful. Like, song always, I hated it, and it really, I would always skip it on any soundtrack of Beauty and the Beast that I listened to, whether it was Broadway or the original. But I think it's so good because his voice and what he does to it with it is so great. And he's scary.
He's scary.
He's scary,
intense.
But also beautiful. Like, sounds. Amazing.
He and Josh Gad, it's the problem is that they got paired together and they outclass everyone in the film, right? And Ewan McGregor doesn't even have a real chance to shine, no pun intended, because he's literally a CGI character the whole time. And part of Ewan McGregor's charm is his face, like the way he has subtleties in his emotions.
You know what I found out though? He mo-capped all of Be Our Guest. That's him dancing.
I had a feeling
that
was the case when I was watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, this looks pretty accurate. But you don't see him for a prolonged period of time within that scene anyway.
But I do think his voice was really, really good. And I really liked Be Our Guest more than I thought I was going to. At least, hearing it, I was like, oh, he sounds great.
Yeah.
Wow, I really like this. Like,
he
I like him
great.
More than
I
thought I
would.
I would
have liked Be Our Guest if Emma Watson had... been
oh
better in the
my
scene.
God.
Let's not
Don't
talk about
say
it too
anything,
much.
But it was that was severely.
I'm like, are you even having a good time?
Literally, the cartoon emotes more than Emma Watson. I'm just saying.
But yeah, Gaston and LeFou are the best part. I had some issues with Gaston that I won't go into detail about now.
We'll do it. We'll talk about it next week.
And I had some issues with LeFou that I won't go into right now.
Next week we'll do our spoiler. This is a spoiler-free review. Next week we'll give you the spoiler because we want to see when you go into this. We want to see where you stand, and then coming back next week, let's see if we agree.
I think. What would you say is the best? Song that was in the original that's also in this one.
Kill the Beast.
Yeah, or Gaston.
No, here's the thing. I love the scene, but Disney, you gotta
understand.
I don't understand,
like the way they changed
you
it.
You can't have 1,000 people singing the song. We can't
hear
the words.
Lyrics.
We don't know what you're saying.
But I did appreciate how they included lyrics that Howard Ashman had originally wrote that didn't make it in.
What it actually is great. I think the song is amazing. The way it's executed, I think, is done quite poorly, but it works with the scene. So if you don't think about it as a song that's getting its own video, if you just think about it as a moment in the movie, which actually makes sense the way they execute it, which I thought was brilliant. The way they go about telling the story is excellent.
Yeah.
Better than the original.
Yes, this is something we both really loved about
it.
They do an excellent job of filling in plot holes from the original movie.
No, not only filling in plot holes, completely rewriting the story in some cases and enhancing it.
Yes, I felt they did an amazing job.
Beast
and
Belle's
like,
relationship makes sense in this movie.
Eh,
it does.
I don't know about that.
The reason that...
Not Stockholm Syndrome?
No, it doesn't come off that way in this one.
That's
why
good.
I like it. And I like the reason Gaston is revered in his city.
Yes.
The reason Gaston and LeFou are friends.
Yeah.
All of this
they
is...
They fill all this
yeah,
in.
The
there
reason
was a lot of times
why,
that I was like, yes.
Yeah, we would...
Cool.
How many times
yeah,
did we look
like,
at each other? We were
yes.
like, oh, man. Oh, man. There's a lot of that. We would go, oh. Yeah. And the way the story is set up, the reason that the servants have an interest in making the beast fall in love, you know, like, mm-hmm. other than just turning, you know, back or whatever.
I really like, I loved when listening to the soundtrack, I love hearing the intro story. More so, I feel like
they is that in the soundtrack?
Yes.
Oh, the intro story. The intro story is.
It's beautiful, and I know you actually get to see it.
After that story, Sarah and I looked. We were just kind of like, okay, let's go for the ride. Here we go.
Okay, yeah, like that's exactly how I felt when I was listening. Mike and I listened to the soundtrack on our way back from the cruise, mm-hmm. Driving back from San Diego, and like literally after each song, we would pause it and we would talk about it, and that's exactly what that was exactly our reaction mm-hmm. too. Was like, okay, and then Emma Watson also started singing, and we're like.
Be Our Guest has a moment like that too, that corresponds with the beginning of the film. And Sarah and I looked at each other and went, we won't say it. We'll wait for next week.
I'm going to rephrase my question. What is your favorite Belle song in the movie?
The reprise.
Oh no, mine was
I like the way she acted it. That was the best acting she did. Well, I mean, what else is there?
Something There. I thought Something There was the best that Emma Watson sounded.
Oh, yeah.
Because they lowered the register for what she sang, so it doesn't have to be as high as Pedro Harris sings it, and it was like, okay.
The Belle song you liked most is the one where, like, 40 other characters also sing, Got it.
Also, shout out to Emma Thompson. If you guys listen to the soundtrack, she sounds so amazingly close to Angela Lansbury.
Oh no, I disagree.
Are you kidding me?
I think she sounded great, but when that song came up, I was just like, ugh, I just want to listen to the Angela Lansbury version.
I would have preferred if it sounded original as opposed to someone doing an Angela Lansbury impression. That was my issue.
Okay,
with it.
Preach.
You know what I'm saying?
Preach. Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Jamie. We are not. We're being very careful. I feel like you guys are about to spoil things.
We're just telling you how we feel about it. We got to get off our chest.
And literally, all I've done is listen to the soundtrack, guys.
Did you like? What? We can't talk about
what the new song.
Don't talk about the new songs.
No.
Okay, we won't talk about that.
Overall,
I like the Beast new song.
Overall. Okay, well, let's talk about something else. Visuals. How did you like the way the movie looked?
It looked beautiful.
You liked it. It wasn't as green screeny when you watched it as it was in the commercials. Were like. So yeah, the trailers feel now severely unfinished.
Well, except they do that all
CGI is still as bad, but like on the Beast, I don't like the Beast. I think they should have made him practical with CGI elements instead of CGI.
I wish
completely.
Every time I see a CGI character that could be practical, I completely agree with you. It hurts
also,
because it's like
continue.
Practical effects have come so far and are so amazing now. Yep. And if you just take the time, and it's even cheaper now to do practical effects
and polish them with CGI.
Yes,
that's totally possible.
Like, what are you doing?
You
like, this
can
is
the
perfect time for Disney, really. To
if you can turn Johnny Depp and Robert Downey Jr. into 21-year-olds, then you can make a practical effects Beast to look real.
Oh my
people
god,
are
you
sounding sad that we didn't like it. I'm also sad that I didn't like it.
Here's the thing. I may be tearing it down. I had a lot of issues with it. But overall, I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed watching it as well. I am not super stoked to have to see it again.
Yeah, I'm not stoked to see it again. I am stoked to see Gaston.
Oh my god, someone says Belle wears a blue apron.
Actually, she wears a white apron.
I am excited. I am excited to see it again to, like, watch it with a different...
You guys were judgy before you even went into the
movie.
No,
because here's the thing is I was like, look, I know the expectation that's set before me by myself, but I'm going to kind of let it go. And after the intro, I was like, all right, let's go for this. And again, I'm going to state this a million times. I enjoyed the movie.
I just think it
had some major issues.
Yeah. But also, like, with every movie, I like, with Cinderella, I went in very skeptical and I loved it. And, like, with Jungle Book, I went in way more skeptical. I was like, I'm going to hate this.
Yeah.
And
Pete's Dragon did not like it. I'll outright tell you if I didn't like a movie, and I did not like Pete's Dragon. It's a preference thing. It's a preference. That's fair.
Yeah. I cried the entire damn movie.
But I'm with you. Maleficent, Cinderella, Jungle Book,
Here's what I'm going to say. If you liked Maleficent, you will like Beauty and the Beast.
No,
terrible.
Let me fix that for you. If you liked Maleficent, hold on. If you liked Maleficent, you will love Beauty and the Beast.
I'm just saying that I think this will appease many viewers.
Yes,
I think many people will love it.
I agree. I think it did justice to the Beauty and the Beast fandom and lore. I just think as a film, it had glaring flaws. Also, what a waste of Ian McKellen.
Dude,
What a waste.
What a waste.
You'll find out when you see it, but it's like, why would you even cast that actor and use him to the capacity that you did? You guys will find out, but...
My general feeling overall was that the film was very emotionless. That is my number one take.
That's what I felt like when I listened to Emma Watson sing, that she has no emotion.
The core character doesn't have a range. She has no emotional range. And the secondary core character is a CGI monster who can't emote because he's big and furry and hairy and doesn't have the features of an actual human
being. But he talks like this.
I love the voice work. Like, I think he did an amazing job as Beast.
He had to have not been able to speak.
No, like, he doesn't go raspy. He's very deep voice.
But no, I've heard, but it had to have hurt his voice, because I'm sure his...
Well, fun fact, in the original, they intermix Robbie Benson's vocal recordings with actual audio of jaguars growling to give the quality. So if they had the ability to do that in 1991.
What about that last scene with him? I'm not going to say what
happens. Oh my God, I hated that. I was like, what? I forgot about that until now.
The dumbest thing I've ever seen in a movie.
Oh my God.
I was like, all right, cool, this movie made it to the end and I'm all right. And then, what?
Oh my God, that was the worst.
What?
I forgot about that.
I know. I never forget.
I tried to block it
never
out.
Never forget.
Oh my God. Well, here's the thing. I expected to sob my eyes out because I love Beauty and the Beast so much, and I was not moved to even swelling tears even once.
Guys, do me a favor.
I'm gonna cry during it. I'm gonna love
it. When that scene happens, I want you to tweet something at me about that scene. You'll know which one it is. Just tweet it.
So I'm gonna go see it tomorrow night, you guys. So make sure you follow me on Instagram because I'll do an Insta story throughout the not during the movie, but before and then immediately following afterwards. So you guys. Follow me at Keaton Markey, and you'll know all my feelings.
And follow me at Leo Zombie. All my feels.
Roger just told me a very funny story in the chat.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, real quick, before we get into that, Chloe's saying that because we're saying it's emotionless now, she's definitely disappointed. You can't be disappointed if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Go see it, please.
You definitely see it.
Have an open mind.
It is a spectacle to behold.
It is a fun movie to watch. It is a fun trip to the theaters. It will tickle your nostalgic heartstrings.
Yes.
You'll enjoy the movie, but listen, I'm objectively critical, and... It has issues. Sorry. Continue. What were we going to say with Roger?
Roger was saying how that Emma Watson was in Shanghai for an event to promote Beauty and the Beast. Like, they went there on their press tour. And on her Instagram for the press tour, she said, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride is amazing. Like, definitely go on it if you, like, go to Shanghai. And then he said that she was on Jimmy Kimmel later and was like, oh, it was the same as the one in Disneyland. And Roger's like, you definitely didn't go on it then.
She
you
didn't
lied.
Go on it. She didn't go on it.
Oh,
Roger.
Man.
Oh, man. Way to keep people honest on the toes.
Speaking of Emma Watson, she was actually at Disneyland the day Mike and I went. And so was one of the girls from Fifth Harmony. We saw her get off a ride, but we did not see Emma Watson because we were hanging out with Iron Man at the time. But we did have lunches with the princesses, which was probably the most magical thing I've ever done at Disney. It was amazing.
Didn't
I? I made friends with all of them. It was great. But Belle was not one of the princesses. And I thought that was a missed opportunity.
She's busy on her press tour.
I guess, but I was really sad. No, but the entire cast of Beauty and the Beast did come to Disneyland that day, and it was, like, everybody was, like, freaking out.
Anyway, no, really, you should see it.
Go see it.
We, you know, it's our job to talk about what we liked and we didn't like, and I think the things that we're saying we didn't like are standing out more than what we did, even though we did list quite a few things that we did like.
Yeah.
You might be focusing on the negative.
The problem is we can't talk about things we liked in detail.
Yeah.
Because, like... We'll spoil the movie, but there were a lot of things that I thought were awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Let's reinforce that statement. Yeah. There are things in this movie that are truly, like you said, a spectacle to behold, or just, like, they make... Like, I laughed out loud
in
this movie.
Oh, my God. Multiple times.
Multiple times. It is a very funny... I know you wouldn't think that, because it's Beauty and the Beast. God. It is a really funny movie.
There's one gif I can't wait for the gif.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait till we're done with the show because I'm going to ask them tons of questions. Oh my God. Even though I'm going to go see it.
Anyway,
tomorrow.
Don't be discouraged. I see so many people being like, I'm sad because you hate it. I was so excited and now I'm sad.
We get so
don't
caught
be
up
sad.
In pointing out the flaws that we forget to point
go
out the positive
it,
things.
Go see it. Form your own opinion.
Good.
It's our job to be critical. Yeah. It's our job to talk about both sides.
Yeah, we want to keep them honest. We want them to make every movie better than the last. Yeah. Also, I want to give a quick shout out to everyone in the chat, all the eyebrows out there. Allison Scott, and I saw another... Who was the other person that tweeted it? Anyways, this morning on my live stream, I said if they watch both of my shows, the code word is eyebrows. So all of my eyebrows out there, thank you for watching and supporting. We really appreciate it, especially at Disney Movie News.
Did you guys talk about the live-action Little Mermaid trailer last week?
It's not
I know
Disney.
It's not Disney,
can we just
but
talk
it's,
about
can
it
we
now?
Just talk about
no,
it really
we're
quick?
No, we're, like, running over.
Right.
It's
next
terrible.
Next week, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I haven't even watched it.
I laughed out loud.
It looks like a Lifetime original
movie. Yeah, Yeah, it's
made
so,
in 1998.
It's so bad.
All right,
it's
but that's
so bad.
It is so bad, and it is so sad that we have no more time to discuss it because I would love to. But I did want to say thank you all of, to all of you guys for watching the show. You can follow me on social media at Mr. Leo Zombie everywhere on the internet, and follow the popcorn Popcorn Talk on Twitter at the Popcorn Talk and on YouTube at Popcorn Talk Network. And Sarah,
I'm Sarah Snitch. Follow me everywhere at Sarah Snitch.
Hi guys, I'm Keaton Markey. Follow me everywhere at Keaton Markey.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Hold on to your butts.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.